This is Ozarks at Large. Young adult novels can suffer from a misconception that the entire genre is a collection of work about vampires, the supernatural, and dystopian futures. Many YA books are very much grounded in the real world, and such is the case for After the Fall by Kate Hart. The book examines a sexual assault and how those involved deal with the repercussions. Kate Hart lives in Fayetteville and will discuss her book at Nightbird Books tomorrow. She recently told Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums she became a writer thanks to one of those young adult novels not based in reality.
I started writing in earnest in 2009. I always wrote in high school, and in college I was a history and Spanish major, so I did a lot of writing, but not fiction. But I didn't start really trying to write a book until 2009.
What spurred this?
Oh, this is the embarrassing part. Everyone was obsessed with Twilight. And I kept being like, I'm not going to read this stupid book. You can't make me. We were going to the beach, and I was like, oh, I need a beach read. You know, so I bought the first one, and I took it with me, and I read it just all in one sitting. And I was, like, yelling out the camper door to my husband, like, this book, I don't want to like this. I got to get the sequel. And I read the whole series that week. So from there, I don't want to say that I will say. I thought, oh, I can write better than this.
Well,
which
did.
Is a horrible thing to admit. But Twilight really did so much for the industry and really opened up YA, or young adult, which we call YA, and made me realize that that was an area I could write in, which I don't think I really, you know, when I was a kid, it was the Babysitter's Club, and it was more the middle grade series that were big. And I hadn't realized until that point that young adult was an actual industry and something that I felt like I was suited for.
Is After the Fall considered YA?
It is, yeah.
What? Because there are very, not that young adults don't deal with mature subject matter, but there's very mature subject matter here.
Right. Young adult is generally, people like to fight about what the actual definition is. But it is generally considered to be a story that is told from a teenage perspective. So something that is written looking back at teenage years, but has kind of that adult perspective and retrospect is considered adult, even if the main character is a teenager. So it really has to come from that teenage point of view to be young adult.
We get it from not just one teenager's point of view in After the Fall.
Right.
we get the story from different characters who are involved.
Yeah, the two. It's funny because everybody assumes that Rachel, the female character, is speaking for me somehow. But Matt, the male character, also, you know, I mean, I don't want to say either character is me because that's not good fiction. But he certainly is also, there's as much of me in both. And it's interesting how people have had that reaction that he's supposed to be some kind of antagonist almost. And that wasn't how I thought of it at all when I wrote it.
Is that something that is, I don't know, a bit freeing to be able to write a story from the different perspectives? Like, Rachel may think of this happening this way. Mm-hmm. Matt thinks of it this way.
Yeah, I think, especially with a subject as fraught as sexual assault, it was really helpful. If it was just from Rachel's point of view and all these people assume that they know and she's dealing with the slut shaming and the rumors, it's very easy to villainize the people who are doing this to her. And so I felt like having Matt in there, you know, certainly as a teenager, I was not perfect and believed things that were said of other people, you know, and later found out that actually horrible things had happened. And so I feel like Matt is a good reminder to the reader that it's easy to, you could be either of these scenarios.
YA books are called that because it's thought that they'll be read, not exclusively, but by a lot of young adults.
Right.
You have to get the language right, I would assume. I mean, young adults, like any other good readers, can spot BS a mile away. So how do you make sure?
I honestly try to avoid super, you know, the latest slang. I've been working on this book for 7 years. And if, you know, at the time, I mean, this book would be full of LOL cats and, you know, things like that. So you really, you have to kind of balance an authentic voice with not getting yourself stuck in the year that you're writing. Same with technology. That's actually really difficult. You know, you can't just have them you know, going to MySpace or, you know.
Friendster.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. Those things move so fast. And even things like iPods, you know, people still use them, but 7 years ago it was a big thing. And now everyone listens on their phone, you know. So you have to be very careful about dating your work in that way.
When I was reading After the Fall, I thought this sounds like teenagers. But I'm a 53-year-old man who doesn't have children, so I don't know. You've at least succeeded in making me think it sounds
well,
like teenagers. But it did.
That.
It did feel like, I mean, there were just some subtle word choices. I thought, yeah, if you were writing about an older person, 20s, mm-hmm. 30s, 40s, they might not say it this way.
Right.
I'm thinking when early in the book, there's a hug or something, and one of the characters said, I accidentally touched her boob, but she acted like, I mean, you wouldn't see the word boob.
Right.
You know, did you think about those specific things?
Sometimes, yes. I mean, as a 36-year-old, I use the word boob, so.
Okay.
there may be, you know, maybe yeah. I write YA to a point because it comes too naturally. no, but I think, yeah, you have to be conscious of what words the kids would use. And I thought about that a lot, especially with the terminology for rape culture and consent and that kind of thing. People have pointed out that the characters don't use the words, you know, that we would use in an adult setting. And honestly, that's because I didn't know those words. Mm-hmm. Even as when I started writing this at 30, 31, and it took some research, you know, to really organize my ideas on the subject before I could go back and organize what was happening in the story. But I didn't want to give them those easy answers that they, you know, that a lot of kids don't have. So I wanted to show them kind of developing that vocabulary and that knowledge base.
I haven't read Twilight, so I can't speak to it, but it's about vampires and werewolves, right?
It is.
Okay. Which I like vampires and werewolves.
I do too.
So that inspired you to get going.
Mm-hmm.
This book is not about vampires and werewolves.
No.
It's much more, you know.
So, yeah. So I actually, my first attempt at a novel was a paranormal. And it was a girl who came from a family of witches and had some superpowers that made her life difficult. It wasn't a great book. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't publishable. And in the meantime, I was really reading a lot of YA and trying to figure out what was in the industry. And so I started reading books by an author named Courtney Summers, who's now a very good friend of mine, an author named Laurie Hulse Anderson, who's been kind of a forerunner in YA. And then, of course, there's people like John Green, who, you know, have become very well known in the past few years. So I think, you know, I started with what I knew was okay. And then after I wrote my first book, I realized this isn't really what I want to write about. And I started kind of digging into my own interests and realized that this was what I had to say.
Was it ever difficult writing about Rachel and what she's going through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really hard. There's a note in the back of the book that I'm actually an assault survivor. And so, of course, you know, she doesn't have my exact same experiences and journey, but reliving that isn't fun. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly, you know, I didn't realize it was going to take 7 years of reliving it to get through. So, yeah, that part isn't pleasant, but.
Are you at all concerned that some parents might pick this up thinking, oh, YA, and then they start reading it and think, oh, I don't want my son or daughter reading this?
I mean, I just expect that to happen. That, you know, challenges to young adult books are constant. You know, Sherman Alexie gets challenged all the time, and he's, you know, American literature royalty. First the book has to be on enough radars before it even bothers to get banned.
Mm.
But it's certainly not an experience that I would hope to go through. But that said, I'm sure that there will be objections, and you know, that's just the risk you run in being honest, I think.
Perhaps there's some sort of disconnect many of us want to have that, well, this isn't the world that teenagers
yeah.
live in, and so why expose them to that when we're probably incredibly naive?
Right. And that was funny. The first time that this book went on submission to editors, I got a lot of pushback on all sorts of things in the book. But one of them was just that she, you know, that she acted, that she was doing too many adult things. And I'm reading these notes and I'm thinking, I aged her up. You know, the experiences I had that were similar happened to me at 15. She's 17, almost 18 in the book. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a lot of patience for it, to be honest. I think that teenagers are, no, they're not adults, but they're people. And within 3 or 4 years, you're going to expect them to be full citizens, and you might as well treat them with respect. You know, their opinions and their emotions aren't any less important than an adult's. So
arguing with reality rarely works out, right? Are you hoping that some people might be helped by this fiction?
I would love if that happened. I can't say I went into it as a goal, but a few people already have reached out and said, oh, you know, thank you for sharing this. It's there are a lot of, I don't want to say that there's a dearth of YA literature about assault, because there's lots of great examples. But there is sometimes a tendency to make things very black and white, or it almost always involves an actual, not, I don't want to say actual rape, but what people think of. And the definition of rape is actually much larger than that. So I don't know. I think I just wanted to kind of open up the discussion to, you know, it's not just what people think of.
Right. Are you working on anything now? I mean, I know that it can be like a hamster wheel for writers.
Yeah.
You got this one done, but by the time it got edited and published, you were working on something
else. Right. So I don't have anything under contract right now. I'm working on one contemporary, is what we call basically stuff with no magic or sci-fi in it.
Okay.
And the contemporary is the story of a girl who lives on Lake Texoma, on the border between Texas and Oklahoma. And she, her mother is bisexual. She's a atheist feminist, and she falls in love with this boy from a conservative family. And it's told over 2 summers, where he has broken her heart the first summer and is trying to win her back the second. But I'm kind of stalled on that since the election, and things are moving in a different direction than they were when I started writing that book. So I'm not sure what to do with it right now.
Interesting. I loved reading After the Fall because it's set in the Ozarks. So, and again, where people think that Rachel might be you or something like that. I don't know if Big Springs is supposed to be somewhere around here, but I made it somewhere around here.
Right. It's pretty transparently an alt Fayetteville.
Okay.
It's actually, Big Springs was one of the first names that Fayetteville had. But I wanted to give myself enough wiggle room. People will be very picky if you set things in a real place, and I didn't want it to be, you know.
Well, and you talk about, you know, technology or slang moving.
Right.
As soon as you've got the meeting at this restaurant.
Right, if they're at Arcega's on the depot and that closes and moves to Greg Street again, you know.
Right. Please note, Kate Hart is not asking for Arcega's at the depot to be closed.
No, definitely not. I would like tons of Arcega's.
But yeah, it there is something about reading a really well-written book that's set in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an advantage, though you can't place it in every reader's hometown. But there's something about it as a reader that's just an extra bonus.
Well, and I think several other people have mentioned to me that they liked that it was a depiction of the South that wasn't the stereotypical, you know, we still call it the War of Southern Aggression and Northern Aggression. You know, and that always, I have a chip on my shoulder about being from Arkansas. And so it was nice to kind of be able to present, no, it's not a perfect place. No place is perfect. But just to kind of have, you know, a realistic depiction out there instead of crazy stereotypes. And
it's available everywhere.
Should be, yes.
Is there a website for you?
I do have a website. It's katehart.net. I don't post a ton there, but I do an interview series called Badass Ladies You Should Know, where I just interview various women, not just writers, but all over, you know, from doctors to scientists to, you know, native jewelry makers. And that's been really a nice side project and a lot of fun. So
we should all know more badass women.
We should.
Yes. Kate Hart, and that's H-A-R-T.
It is.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck figuring out what to do with the next contemporary.
Next one.
And let me know when you got some vampires and werewolves.
Excellent.
Because I'll be interested in that as well.
I'll be on it.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
Kate Hart's new novel is After the Fall. She'll discuss the book at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. She spoke with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums earlier this month.